Would you turn with me to the book of Revelation? And while you do, I'm going to make a brief announcement because you need to know it and it was not in the bulletin. We are excited to tell you that for some time now, as your pastor and the rest of your church staff have felt led to seek a certain individual to come onto full-time staff in our church. And in order to do so, we have to have a search committee. And we're excited to tell you that we'd like to seek to have Nathan Slider to come on in full time. So we're excited, and the deacon body are in full agreement, 100%. So since he's already part time, the financial responsibility will be a lot easier on us. And we're just going to drag him away from where he's at. Amen. We hope. But that our committee will lead us into where we go from there. So on the back table, there are some little blue slips. If you would like to nominate someone to be on our search committee, you will not only have the chance to do that today, but also next week. Today and next Sunday will be the only 2 days. You've got to be a member to nominate someone, and they must be a member in order to be nominated and put on the committee. And then next week, our deacons, as stated in our bylaws, will review those nominations and make a list and bring them back to you at a meeting to be announced thereafter. That's exciting news, folks. Amen. I sounded kind of subdued, but I'm excited. I'm very, very thankful and excited about that. You know, we're looking forward to the day when there are just no more junk in life. Amen. I don't know if it's just all of us, but I always look forward to a trip. Are you with me? You know, it's exciting to me when I go, oh, I've got this big trip planned, and I'm going to get to go somewhere, and I look forward to it, not that I don't live day to day and enjoy what God's given me, but I always look forward to the trip. Let me tell you, I think all of us look forward to the trip. The trip. Man has always dreamed of utopia. Haven't we? We've always said, man, we try to make our homes, we try to make our churches, we try to make our towns, our cities into a better place. And we aspire in many ways to try to create a paradise on earth. Wouldn't it be nice if we could do that? You know what that is? It would just be a return to the Garden of Eden. But both the Bible and our witness of history remind us that it's pretty clear that man will never be able to produce such a society on this earth again. Amen? I said man can't. Did you know that God's word says he will? We're talking about that today. We're talking about the millennium. We're talking about that 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth when everything on earth comes back to what God wanted it to be. It's going to be the next great event after the second coming of Christ. He is going to establish the 1,000-year reign, and we call that the millennium reign of Christ. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word, and let's read about that together in Revelation chapter 20. Beginning with verse 1, and I'm going to ask you, keep your Bible open there in Revelation, or mark it with your bulletin or something, and that way you'll have the spot where we'll be coming back to. Now, you may have noticed I did not put a bunch of blanks in the outline today. Does everybody have a copy of the sheet in there? If you don't, there's some more copies in the back in the other bulletins. But instead of you trying to keep up with me today, because there are myriads of scriptures, and because there is so much to cover, I didn't put blanks in so that y'all are all having to figure it out. It's all filled in. So don't even worry about that outline. Just set them down and you'll have an outline for later, okay? In Revelation chapter 20, God's word says, beginning with verse 1, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Now, chains and angels don't seem to go together, do they? Well, they do here. Look what it's going to be used for. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And bound him for 1,000 years. Okay, you can be taught. Verse 3. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, and he shut him up, and set a seal on him, so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things he must be released for a little while. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and the judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their true witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and they had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ. And now look at this. If you've got your Bible, you can sit up there. Finish it with me. And they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Folks, this 1,000 years is what we're going to be talking about today. It has an important place in our spiritual history to come. Father, we ask and pray for your understanding as we look at so many scriptures. Lord, we ask that you would give us an understanding, an ability to relate things together so that we see the things that are coming. And Father, above all things, to be ready. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? We know that paradise is lost. But folks, according to God's word, God is going to establish paradise even on this earth once again. He will establish that 1,000-year reign called the millennium of glory and of peace, and it's going to bring about a complete fulfillment of his word to Israel from all these thousands of years. There are many passages in the Bible that talk about the millennium. Old Testament and New Testament. I'm going to focus on both ends today, and I'm not going to try to read them all. That's the outline that you have in your bulletin. Now, if you're watching on cable, TV, whatever it is that you're watching from, you can go to our website and you can download a copy of that from our website, gpf.church. Many scriptures from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 11, chapter 35, Jeremiah 23, Joel chapter 3, Zechariah chapter 14, and many, many others. Now, there are a lot of titles for this particular time in history that we call the millennium. We call it the millennium now, there are many other words for it, terms for it in the New Testament. And some of those are from Matthew chapter 3 and chapter 8 is called the kingdom of heaven on earth. In Mark chapter 1 is called the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 19 it's just called the kingdom. In Hebrews chapter 12 is called the kingdom that shall not be shaken. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 2 is called the world to come. Now, why is it called the world to come? Because it's not the heaven to come. That would be the new heaven and the new earth, and that's coming in a couple of weeks. But this is the new world to come. Acts chapter 3 is called times of refreshing. In Acts chapter 3, again, is called the period of the restoration of all things. In other words, everything is going to be brought back to the way that God intended it to be, even on this earth, before he establishes eternity in heaven. Folks, this is something to look forward to. But I'm going to remind you again, as we look forward to this, you don't want to be one living there in the flesh. You want to be there with your renewed body that you've already gone to be with the Lord in the rapture. You want to be renewed. You want to be restored. You want to come back with him to establish this, because it means that if you were here in the physical form, you have had to go through the tribulation, which meant you did not know Jesus Christ before. And as we've heard many, many times, you don't want to go through that. And all God's people said, amen. Now, is this a literal or a symbolic period of time? Six times in the passage that we just read, or five times in the passage we just read, and then one more time in verse 7. So six times in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 7, it says 1,000 years. 1,000 years. Now, there are some who say, well, when you see the term 1,000 in the Bible, it's always symbolic. No, it's not. It is not always symbolic. It is sometimes very literal. And here, in several other places, it does indeed say, many places in the Bible, that God's reign will be how long? Forever. Say it with me. Forever. One more time. Forever. How long will Christ reign in heaven be? Forever. But how long will that time be on this earth where he makes this earth a paradise again? Is it going to be forever? No. It's going to be how long? 1,000 years. So what's the problem? If God's word says that there's going to be, his reign is going to be forever, and it does say that, and then it says that there's going to be a reign on earth for 1,000 years. Is there a conflict in the Bible? Folks, not at all. Not at all. Eternity and the millennium are two different periods of time. Eternity is contained, or should I say, the millennium is contained in eternity, just like today is contained in eternity. But it's not a part of the millennium, and it's really not considered a part of the eternal celebration time. That's coming after the great white throne judgment. Folks, we're going to talk about that, I think, next week. So eternity and the millennium are two different periods of time. One is literally 1,000 years, and it is God's kingdom on this present earth. We just read about that in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Now, the other one that we're talking about is the eternal kingdom that follows it. Listen to Revelation chapter 22, if you want to flip over to it, just a couple of pages away. Revelation chapter 22, verse 5, and it starts talking about that heavenly place. Listen to what it says about that. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord gives them light, and they shall reign with him forever and ever. Folks, these are two different events, two different times. The millennium, if you will, and I like this terminology, is the front porch for eternity. It's where you're going to get to walk into eternity from. The millennium is 1,000 years that Christ will establish on this earth before we go to the new heaven, and then we will reign with him forever and forever. Now, I want you to look with me. I told you to leave your Bibles open. Right there in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. Look at verse 7. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7. Now, we just got through reading verses 1 through 6, and it says, and we shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then verse 7 says, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Folks, if the 1,000 years and forever are the same, let me ask you, when will God's rule and reign end? Never. Will God's kingdom ever end? Will there be an expiration date? No. So folks, it's talking about the expiration of the 1,000 years on earth, the millennium reign of Christ on King David's throne from earth. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment. These are two different time periods, and they're different. Though one is contained in the other, they are mentioned separately in the Word of God. So let's talk about the major events of the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. We just read one in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 3. It says that Satan is going to be bound, and all God's people say, woo! Praise the Lord. Man, it is wonderful to know that our enemy is going to be defeated. He is going to be bound and cast into the pit. Secondly, it says that the reign of Christ will be on David's throne. Now, what does that mean? I've got a lot of scriptures mentioned here in your outline there where it talks about this. But Christ is literally going to return. Where is he going to touch down? Do we know? Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives. He's going to return. He's literally going to touch down on the Mount of Olives. He's going to establish his kingdom. And right there in Jerusalem, he is going to reestablish the throne of David. The scripture says he will rule and reign from there. Then what happens? Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6 says there's going to be a reward. There's going to be a reward. Folks, there is going to be a time when Christ says, well done, my good and faithful servants. You have been faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you over many. And he's going to say, here are the things that you've done that have pleased me, that have honored me, that you did in obedience to me. And there's going to be a reward. We're going to talk about that next week. Don't you wish we had time to just do it all today? Some said amen and some said, oh me, okay. There's going to be a rewarding of the faithful. Number four is there is going to be a restoration of Israel. We all know this, amen? Why? Because Israel was God's chosen people. He is going to give them a chance. They're going to have an opportunity, a very difficult one, to return to him. And there is going to be what God's word calls in Jeremiah 31, a regeneration, a reestablishing there. There's going to be, as is told in Deuteronomy and in Isaiah and in Matthew, and has been happening for the last number of decades, there is going to be a regathering of Israel. Scripture says that they will repossess the land, and they will not have to have a piece of paper from anybody in this world to be able to say, this belongs to you. Then there's going to be a reestablishing of the Davidic throne. And who's going to sit on it this time? Not David, but Christ Jesus. The reestablishing of David's throne. Now, after that, we pick up there, and that kind of finishes verses 1 through 6 of Revelation chapter 20. And then we began to kind of look in a little different direction. We're not going to cover these today, but I do want to mention them. After that, the Bible says that there is going to be a loosing of the devil. That's going to close out the millennium reign of Christ. There's going to be a final rebellion of Satan, and then the final defeat. And we already know that Christ Jesus carries his sword on his thigh. And what was on his thigh, do you remember? His name, which was what? King of Kings, Lord of Lords. All he has to do is speak his name, and the end is going to be established. Dear friends, Scripture says that after that, we have the end of the millennium. When he is loosed, that marks the end. And then when the end does come, there's another event that we'll talk about next week, and that is what we call the Great White Throne Judgment next week. Now, who's going to be there? Who's going to populate the millennium? Who's going to be at this paradise on earth? Very little in God's word is said about this. A lot of conjecture. So, folks, I can tell you first and foremost, beyond a shadow of a doubt, what God's word says about who's going to be there. First and foremost, we know that those who will be there will be those who survive the great tribulation. And not all of them, but only those who survive the great tribulation and have come during the tribulation to know Jesus Christ. Now, how do we know that we're not going to be there at that time? Because the scripture says that we're already going to be what? We're going to be raptured out. I figured there'd be a little more excitement in the room over that part. But folks, we know that those who survive the terrible events of the great tribulation are going to be there, and those who survive the judgment of the nations. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, talk to us about those who are going to be saved during that time, and there's going to be a very small number, but Matthew 24, 13 says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. And there's going to be a tiny number there because most of us are going to be raptured out. But then those who do survive and those who actually come to Christ and make it through, which will be few because those who are converted in those days are going to be sought out and slaughtered by the Antichrist. There will be very few there. But we know that they will be there. They'll be there for that millennium. And at the time of the judgment of nations that we also read about in Matthew 25, there's going to be that separation where they come before God. Do you remember? It says they're going to step before him, and the unsaved are going to be called goats, and they're going to be pushed out, and the saved are going to be called sheep, and he's going to say to them, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Do you remember? Those are God's words. There's going to be that separation of the sheep and the goats. Now, who else is going to be there? We know that those who are going to be resurrected are going to be there. I don't know exactly how it's going to work. I guess when we come back with the Lord from heaven, it says that we're going to be returning with him. We're a part of the great army dressed in fine linen. What color is the linen? White. Why? Because we don't have to do the work. Who's going to do all the fighting? Lord Jesus Christ is going to do all the fighting. So when we come back with him, the scripture says that he will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. Scripture says that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Scripture says that when we're with him, we'll be with him forever. I'm thinking I'm going to be there too. Now, how does that work? Heavenly saints coming back? Some will still have their earthly bodies living there? We know that's how it's going to work. We're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But we do know that there will be both and all of God's people there. So what is it going to be like? What's it going to be like? Somebody say, good. And somebody else say, good. Now somebody else who knows better say, no. It's going to be great. And then somebody who knows better say, oh, it's going to be better. We can't describe how wonderful it's going to be. Folks, it's going to be paradise. It's going to be paradise on earth. Listen, God's word tells us in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and following, and then also a little after that, it talks about the curse that came on earth and on man because of our sin. It also talks about the serpent, how he was cursed. Do you remember? He said, no more will you be able to walk on feet, but you're going to slither on the ground. You're going to be cursed forever and forever. And it says, in women, you're going to have to bear children in pain. And it says, men, the earth is going to work against you. There's going to be thorns and thistles, and everything's going to work against you in this life now. Do you remember that? If you don't, go back and read Genesis chapter 3, where it talks about the Adamic curse. So, the Adamic curse is going to be lifted. There's not going to be everything working against us anymore. Satan is going to be removed. He's in the pit. So folks, as we are there, we know that things are going to be better because Satan's not working against us. But we do know this. There are some who are going to be there in their natural bodies. How do we know that? Because they made it through the tribulation. They made it through the separation. And those in natural bodies, Isaiah 65 tells us, they're going to live extended lifetimes. I don't understand all this, but we'll understand it better by and by. Amen? Those living to be 100 in those days are going to be considered to be cut short. They were a youngin'. Oh, they passed away young. I believe that those submitting to God fully in that time, because you see, because there will be natural bodies there, there will still be the human nature there, and they will still have to battle sin. Scripture says that they're going to be there, but if they fully submit to God, I believe they're going to live the full 1,000 years right to the end. At the end of that 1,000 years, then they're going to receive their glorified body. And God's going to fulfill his original plan and purpose for man. The environmental curses are going to be lifted. Folks, we know this, that it's going to be a wonderful place to be. It's going to be what God wanted it to be from the very beginning. I believe that if you look at the millennium, and you go, why would God do that? First of all, it's a time and space where God is going to show the difference of what could have been without the fall of mankind. And he's going to show us what we could have had on this earth had we not rejected him in the garden. Does that make sense? So I believe he's going to show us, this is what you could have had if you hadn't pushed against me. Then the scripture says, not only are we going to have all of those curses lifted, but God's word tells us in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, we are going to have peace. Folks, that is what we long to have in our world. Amen. It says, he shall judge the nations and rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Now, where did we hear the opposite of that? As we were coming into the end times, it says they're going to be beating their plowshares into swords. Now they're going to do just the opposite because we're going to have the time of peace. They're going to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Praise God. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Amen. And his name will be called Wonderful. His name will be called Counselor. His name will be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of... Wow. One more. Even the animals are going to get along. Cats won't chase mice. Lions won't chase lambs. Wolves won't chase lambs. The scripture tells us in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 8, that even the animals are going to get peace. It says, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall graze together. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like an ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. That give you a little shiver? The nursing child will see the cobra and giggle, and so will the cobra. And the weaned child shall put his hand into the viper's den to pick them up like puppies, I guess. Y'all remember a guy named P.T. Barnum? Greatest showman on earth, they said. He used to thrive on hearing that a visiting pastor was in his area, and he would seek them out, and he would take them to a visit that he called the Happy Family. In that cage were lions and tigers, all squatted around a little lamb. And he would say, look, no aggression. Look how they just live together. And occasionally there would be a pretty wise pastor who would say, do you ever have any problems in there? And he'd say, no, only to replenish a lamb now and then. Folks, I don't care what it looks like. We have no peace on this earth. And there's coming a day when no heartache will come. Amen. No heartache. The next thing that's going to happen, the scripture says, there's going to be holiness. Now, you know what holiness means? What does it mean to be holy? It means to be set apart from God. And God's word says that we're going to be in an atmosphere of holiness. It will be a holy kingdom. Everything is going to be subject to God. Everything. Not like this world where some of us try and the rest of the world is against us. No, it's not going to be where one is trying for God and one is working against him, or one is trying for God and Satan is working against him. And the whole world seems to be working against us, but it's going to be that everybody's focus is going to be subject to the Lord God. And it will be an atmosphere of holiness. Isaiah chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, and it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone is recorded among the living Jerusalem. When the Lord has washed away the filth of our daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, his Holy Spirit is going to come in and purge all the dross of the world away. and we're going to live in a holy environment. You know what holiness brings? We talked a little bit about this last week. Holiness brings glory to God. And when God gets glorified, do you know what you begin to see? We talked about it last week. We called it the what? The Shekinah. The Shekinah glory of God. And when God is glorified, His luminescence is going to begin to appear. And I believe with all my heart that when He says that His glory is coming and His holiness is coming, that the luminescence of God's glory is going to return to the earth like we saw back in the, well, not like we saw, but what we read about in the Old Testament. Because up till that time, nobody has seen that except whom? Israel. Israel was the one who was given that sign, and that's going to be the sign of His coming. But the glory of God is going to shine, and the Shekinah is going to come out, and it's not just going to be the Shekinah, because you see, man can bear the Shekinah. We know because they saw it over the temple, and they saw it over the tabernacle, and they saw it inside the Holy of Holies, and we know that man can bear it because they've seen it, right? But do you remember when the full glory of God was revealed? You remember one time? One time with Moses, do you remember? And Moses went up on Mount Sinai, and as he stood there, he said, God, show yourself to me. And God says, you can't handle it. So what did he do? It says he put him in the cleft of a rock. Now what does that mean? He put him in a closet of rock. He literally backed him up against a rock that had an overhang and some sides. And it says that God put His hand over him. And that he kind of walked by. And as he walked by, he kind of removed his hand just enough for him to see the afterglow of God. And it nearly killed Moses. You remember he went down and the people couldn't even look at Moses anymore. Do you remember? Moses had to wear a shawl. He had to wear a covering. He had to wear a mask. No COVID. He had to wear his mask. And he hid his face because people would look at him and go, ah! Just because he had seen the afterglow of God. Listen, that's what we're going to get to see. The full glory of God. Then it says that we're going to have established righteousness and justice. When the millennium begins, dear people, we are going to be inhabited on the earth only by believers. Now, some of them will still have a sin nature because they're still going to be human. They're still going to not have their glorified bodies. But folks, we'll all be believers, every single one. Man will still sin, some of them, who still have their natures. But the scripture says that God is going to judge them in perfection, and justice is going to be dealt out at the hands of the Messiah. In other words, when somebody sins, immediately they're going to be brought before God. And He's going to say, that doesn't belong here. Folks, that's what our courts were supposed to be doing. That's why it's so important that you put in conservative, God-fearing judges in our court systems. Scripture says that in that time of righteousness and justice, that Christ Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. What does that mean? It means that the law is not going to be bent. He is going to be restraining and judging sin, which is the opposite of what Satan did while he was here. He didn't restrain it. He promoted it. He pushed it. Scripture after scripture after scripture. There are so many scriptures that talk about what's going to happen in the millennium, that talk about what's going to happen in heaven. Now, also the scripture says that there's going to be a deeper knowledge in that time. In that 1,000 years, we're going to be living with Christ. And who's going to be the teacher? Don't need any preachers. Nobody needs to get saved. Christ Jesus is going to be the teacher. Jesus is going to be teaching, and the ministry of our Lord and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is going to be so great and so strong. We're going to be subject to His kingdom, and we're going to have a superior knowledge. We're just going to grow in knowledge during that time. We're going to call that the appetizer before the feast. Amen. Listen to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. He says, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's going to be the prevailing spirit of the day. Wouldn't that be awesome? I'm going to tell you, I truly believe that a number of the, what's the right word, whether it's a convent or, y'all help me with the word I lost here, but monasteries, there you go. Monasteries and places where people have gone off away from the world. Are y'all with me? And they went off to these monasteries, and you think, well, what good can a Christian do there? You know, they really can't win the world from a monastery. They really can't win the world from a place that where they separated themselves. But I'm going to tell you, it sure sounds awful good to get to go and just be in a place where everybody wants the same thing, to glorify God. We're not going to get that until this day. And when that day comes, we're going to get it. Folks, during that time, we're going to have that deeper knowledge and fear of the Lord. And guess what? Even for those who are there, they are going to live in a much healthier environment, because God is going to clear the air. God is going to clear the sky. God is going to burn off the dross of sin. And even those who are there in their physical bodies are going to live much longer, and they're not going to have sickness like they had here. And if they do get sick, you know what they can do? Guess who's living on earth again? Hello? I'm looking over my glasses like your second grade teacher. Who's going to be there? Jesus is going to be there. Who is the healer? Who is Jehovah Rapha? Jesus. All they have to do is call on the Lord and say, God, I need an appointment. He says, got it. I'm here. What you need? Lay hands on them and heal them, just like that. And those of us with renewed bodies, we don't have to have that, but those of those who need it might. When sickness does arise, our Lord is there. Just like in his earthly ministry, he'll heal those who need it. And the seventh thing the scripture tells us is there's going to be a universal worship of God. There's not going to be anybody saying, oh no, the real God is the dirt. Oh no, the real God is the man. Oh no, the real God, we need to worship the preacher. Oh, we need to worship the angels. Listen, how many times in the Bible does it tell us, more than once, that when the man who saw the angel fell down and started worshiping, the angel said, don't do that. We'll be worshiping the one true and living God. All the inhabitants of the earth will join their hearts, will join their voices to worship the Lord our God and his Son, Christ Jesus. Scripture says that there's going to be economic prosperity there. Folks, there's not going to be any need for welfare during that time. No social security. Nobody's going to be without. The curses of the earth are lifted, and the weeds and the briars are gone. Maybe there won't even be fire ants. Amen? Maybe then we'll learn what their real purpose was, okay? I don't know. And mosquitoes? Could not have been mosquitoes in the Garden of Eden. Economic prosperity. The world is going to flourish under the hand of the King of Heaven, the presence of God. This one ought to be last, but I've saved one more for last just because. But the presence of God is number nine. The greatest thing about the kingdom, the greatest thing about the millennium, the greatest thing about that year, that reign of the Lord on this earth, is that the Father and the Son are going to be there. We'll be in their presence. And God's presence will be fully recognized. God's presence will be worshipped. And our fellowship with him will be like nothing we've ever experienced in this time. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 48, I love this. If you have a pen, write this down next to this, or circle it in your notes there. In Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35, it says that the city, and I guess that's where we're going to be, the millennial kingdom. The city will be called Jehovah Shammah. Now, we know what Jehovah means, right? Jehovah Rapha means the God of healing. Jehovah Rapha, yeah. And Jehovah Jireh is God of provider. What does Jehovah Shammah mean? Shammah is the Hebrew word that stands for the phrase, God is here. Very similar to Emmanuel. God is here. God is there. Folks, God is going to be there. His presence will never be without again. And the last one I want to cover today, Scripture after Scripture after Scripture after Scripture tells us that we are going to have exceedingly great joy. It's going to be constant. It's going to be truly joy to the world. Back a number of years ago, a couple of hundred years ago or more, a man named Isaac Watts wrote a song called Joy to the World. Anybody ever heard of that? Any of you ever sung it? What time of year do we usually sing that song? People read it, people sang it, and then said, oh, this must be about the birth of our Savior. It's not. That is not what he wrote this song for. He wrote this song for the millennium. He wrote this song for when Jesus was coming back. It's not about his coming in humbleness. It's coming about his glorious return and him establishing things. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Put it up on the board. I'm always humbled when I try to be dramatic. When our Lord comes back, it's going to be joy to the world. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Listen to this verse. I've been singing it too. No more let sins and sorrows grow. No thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. One more time. He rules the world with truth and the millennium and makes the nations prove the judgment of the nations and glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. Sing! And all God's people said, amen. Would you join me in prayer? Pray with me. Oh, precious Father, thank you for the glory that's coming. And all God's people said, God, we look forward to it. We sure need some joy to the world, Lord. We're ready for it. But God, until that day, would you help us to remain faithful? Would you help us to remain true to Christ Jesus? And Father, it is our prayer that all who would come to know Christ Jesus before that day. Lord, this day we celebrate who you are, the returning King of Kings. the returning Lord of Lords, the King of Righteousness. And we look forward to you establishing your kingdom. God, would you give us a foretaste of that glory divine right here this day as we live in obedience to your word. Now, dear friends, with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you this opportunity. Perhaps this morning you just need to come and kneel at this altar, knowing that Christ is coming soon. And if you don't know him as Lord and Savior, would you ask him to forgive your sin, come into your heart and life, and ask him to be your Lord and Savior? Would you do that? God's word says that if you will pray that believing, if you'll pray that with faith, if you'll confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and raised from the dead, you will be saved. That's God's promise. Won't you do that today? And if you've done that, but you know you've wandered, would you return to him today? And if you know that he's called you to do something, whether to be a part of his church, to surrender to ministry, to be a missionary, whether across the world or across the street, or maybe he has just led you to be more faithful with what he's given you. Whatever God leads you to, would you do it today? We're going to sing together, Grace That Is Greater Than Our Sin. And if God has led you to come, you come. Your pastor will receive you. We'll have others. My prayer partners, would you go to the sides? And if you would like to speak with someone, to pray with someone, they'll be there with you as well. But you come as God leads. As our praise team leads us, you come. Hi, I'm Pastor Gary Ladd. It's our hope and our prayer that God's word has touched your heart today. Perhaps you'd like to ask God for his help in your life right now. Did you know that you can call on God's Holy Spirit to help you through prayer right now, right where you are? If you pray sincerely in faith, the Heavenly Father will hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer of confession, of forgiveness, and for comfort. If you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know that God wants you to be closer to him, to draw you in closer, would you pray right now and ask God to forgive you of your sin and to draw you in close to him, to that personal love relationship that God wants you to have? Did you know that God's word tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins? If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart or into your life, dear friend, please do that today. He wants to have a personal love relationship with you. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. If God's Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart right now, this is how you can receive him as your Lord and Savior today. It's really a very simple process of faith called admit, believe, and confess. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need God's help. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that he came to this earth, that he lived his perfect life, that he died on the cross for your sin, and that he rose again so that he might prepare a place for you in heaven. And then the last thing that you need to do is confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, the boss of your life, and that he is your Savior. If you'd like to do that right now, you can pray a very simple prayer, invite him into your life. If you would, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. I acknowledge that my sins have separated me from you. Please forgive me of those sins, Lord. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me, to die in my place. And thank you, Father, that he rose again to be my Lord and my Savior. I now ask you to rescue me from my sin. And I place my faith in you alone for forgiveness and for eternal life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, and you prayed that prayer in faith, believing, then, dear friend, you've begun your spiritual walk with God through Jesus Christ. Please let us know about this, won't you? This is just the beginning, and we'd like to pray with you and for you and to help you to start your process of growing with Jesus Christ. Please contact the church offices of Grace Point at the email that you see right there on your screen. If you'd like to access other sermons or helps, or if you'd like to find out more about Grace Point Ministries, service times, Bible studies, youth or children's activities, please look us up at the website on your screen right now, gpf.church. Thank you for joining us for our worship broadcast today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.